My text for this morning is a very well-known text from this chapter. I have no doubt you've heard it preached upon many times. And the Lord has also led us to preach upon it in times past. It's verse 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Really, it was that which caught my eye as I read over this. What is a good fight? What is a good fight? Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul, as we know, has just come to the end of the road. A road he started out on when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. A meeting there in that road which changed this man and changed him in such a way that he was never to walk the same again. The change in this man's life was quite dramatic. I'd like you to turn, please, to Acts chapter 9. And there we have the record of Paul's conversion. And then the Lord spoke to Ananias and told him to go and speak with Paul or Saul of Tarsus. And we read in verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. A sure sign that Saul of Tarsus was indeed converted by the grace of God, because he's now breathing his new life. He's praying. You always know a man has got saved when he begins to pray. And Saul of Tarsus had begun to pray. Behold, he prayeth. Verse 12, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man. How much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias had heard that Paul was an evil man. And here, he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. This is the man who had persecuted the church, Ananias is saying. And he's a little bit afraid about going to the street called Straight. He's a bit afraid about meeting this man, Saul of Tarsus. But the Lord informs Ananias, you have nothing to be afraid of. Saul is a changed man. He's a changed man. And the Lord goes on to say, and the Lord said unto him, verse 15, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Paul was a changed man. But for the servant of the Lord, the Saul of Tarsus, the road that he was called upon to walk would not be an easy road. We've just read there, he was to go, he was a chosen vessel unto the Lord, he was to bear the name of the Lord before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. And the Lord went on to say, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It wasn't going to be an easy road for Paul. It's not an easy road for any one of us when we start out in the Christian life and begin to walk that road for Jesus Christ. We might say with John Willard Peterson, it's not an easy road we're traveling to heaven, for many are the thorns on the way. Mr. Peterson went on to write, it's not an easy road. There are trials and troubles and many are the dangers we meet. Though we are often footsore and weary from travel, though we are often bowed down with care, a better day is coming when home in the glory we'll rest in perfect peace over there. And for Paul, he had got to the end of that road and he was about to go over there. He had come to the end of his journey, to the end of the road, to the end of his days, to the end of his service, to the end of his work. Now he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. You will notice, of course, that Paul was prepared for that hour. My, how good it is to be ready. How good it is to be prepared to go over there. It is a great thing to be ready when you come to the swelling of Jordan. It is a great thing to be ready when you come to the end of the road. The Apostle Paul knew that his hour was near, the time of my departure is at hand. He knew that the end was near, and he knew also that he was prepared, for he says, I am now ready. It's good to be able to say that. Some don't know the time of their departure. And sad to say, they're not ready. And they're not prepared. But for Paul, he was now ready. Everything was in order. Everything was in order, which is, of course, something that is very important before we depart. Turn, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 38. Isaiah 38 and verse 1 we read, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order. Hezekiah, have some things to attend to. I'll give you time to attend to those matters. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Apostle Paul was able to say, everything's in order. I'm now ready to depart. That word depart is a very interesting word. It has a number of meanings. Refers to a release, to a prisoner getting release from prison. It refers to the captain of a ship giving the order to pull up the anchor and depart from the shore and sail to another land. Paul was ready to take up the anchor, set sail for a more blessed land. It refers to someone moving on, pulling up the stakes of their tent, wrapping up their tent and moving on to another place, another destination. Paul says, I am ready for all these things. Paul was now ready to be offered. The word offered there refers to the pouring out of the drink offering and the Mosaic law. When the offering was poured out before the Lord. It's the word that Paul employs here. And he says, I am now ready to be offered. Or as the word indicates, I am being offered. I am now being offered. He's lying in the prison cell at Rome, and Paul says, I am already being offered. In other words, what he was saying, what he was suffering at that time in the prison at Rome was the beginning of the end. The process had already begun, which would shed his blood and take his life, and soon Paul would depart. Paul says that process has already begun. Paul knew that he would not get out of that prison cell alive. He was a dying man. He knew it. But before he does so, before he departs, before he weighs anchor, before he pulls up the stakes, before his release, Paul casts a swift glance over his past life. And he sums it up. My, what a summary. He sums it up in three short phrases. He says, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. He says, I have kept the faith. Notice, he says, I have. Here's Paul, and he's come to the end of the road. And he's looking back on his life. And he's considering what he personally had accomplished for God. He says, I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. That's what Paul had done. And dear child of God, when we come to the end of the road, and if in the mercy of God we're given an opportunity to cast an eye back over our life, will we say the same as Paul? Will we be able to employ the same words? Will we use the same phrases? I have. What will we have accomplished personally? Personally. For the Lord. You notice, and Paul said three times, I have. And he's at the end of the road that his life finished on a positive note. He says, I have. He didn't say, I haven't. I haven't. No, he was able to say, I have. We get to the end of the road. What will it be with us? Will it be, I have or I haven't? I haven't accomplished what God gave me to do. I haven't finished the course the Lord set me on. Paul here was, as it were, giving his mantle over to Timothy. This was addressed to Timothy, his last inspired word, and it was written to Timothy. And in this letter he exhorts Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. My, Paul had done that all of his days. From that hour that he met Christ on the road to Damascus, he preached the word. And now he wants Timothy to carry on the work. Timothy, you preach the word. Here's my mantle. Wear my mantle. Just as Moses gave his mantle to Joshua, and as Elijah gave his mantle to Elisha, Paul's giving his mantle to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, I have fought a good fight. Timothy, I have finished my course. Timothy, I have kept the faith. And it's as if Paul was saying, Timothy, you do the same. You preach the word that I preached. And Timothy, you fight the fight that I fought. And you finish your course. And Timothy, whatever else you do, make sure you keep the faith. What a wonderful, what a soul-stirring example the apostle left his son in the faith to follow as he came to the end of the road. The great apostle looks back and the first thing his eyes focused on was the conflict. The conflict. I have fought a good fight. The apostle remembered first of all the conflict, for he says, I have fought a good fight. There is something that's missing in our English translation. When it was translated from the Greek to the English, there was one word missing. It's lost in the translation. It's the definite article that's missing here in these words. So it should read, I have fought not a good fight, I have fought the good fight. It's the fight. It's not just any fight, it's the fight. It's the fight that Paul became involved in when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. The absence of the definite article here makes the words of Paul appear egotistical, as though Paul was swelling out his chest and saying, oh, this is what I did. This is what I accomplished of myself. No. Paul says, I fought the good fight. The fight for the faith. Paul says, I took part in that fight. I was involved in that fight. I was engaged in that battle. He was speaking about the fight which every Christian must face and must be engaged in if they're to win the prize, the crown of righteousness that was laid up for Paul. Not only as believers do we engage in a conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil. That battle goes on every day. But as believers, we must be engaged in that battle that Jude spoke about in his epistle. For he exhorted God's people with these words, ye should. There's no discharge in this battle. Ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Ye should earnestly contend for the faith. Every blood-washed, blood-bought child of God should earnestly contend for the faith. That's the fight that Paul's speaking about. The fight. The conflict. A conflict that has raged for years and is still going on today. And that was one that Paul was engaged in. Now we may ask ourselves, how soon did Paul become engaged in this conflict? Well, that answer is simple. Immediately. He was in the heat of in the heart of the battle even almost the day after he got saved. Let's turn again to Acts chapter 9 And here is the Apostle Paul. And he's but a babe in Christ. He's just saved. And we read in verse 20 of Acts chapter 9, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. The fight has started. Started already. And he's not saved very long. And lo and behold, we read the Jews take counsel to kill him. Here we notice Paul's readiness for the conflict. Oh, you never read about Paul running away from a fight. You never would read about Paul avoiding the conflict as far as the preaching of the gospel was concerned. Wherever Paul had an opportunity, Paul preached Christ, proving that indeed he is the Christ. And he didn't care what men thought of him or what the reaction would be. He still preached Christ. We'll be looking tonight, God willing, at the message Paul preached on Mars Hill. And what a sermon it was. Mars Hill was crowded out with philosophers and deniers of Jesus Christ. But that didn't matter to Paul. He preached Christ anyway. And here he is. He's ready for the fight. Paul never shied away from any fight for the faith. Turn to Acts chapter 21. And here in Acts 21 we read about Paul, and he has made it known that he's on his way to Jerusalem, and the believers are afraid for Paul as he goes up to Jerusalem, because they knew that there were many enemies of the cross there in Jerusalem. And we read in Acts 21 verse 11, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go. You're in danger if you go to Jerusalem and preach the gospel there. But Paul said, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh my, don't we need more Pauls today? Paul was a man sold out to Christ. Paul says, I don't care. If I'm imprisoned, if I'm bound hand and foot, I don't care. Because I'm ready to die at Jerusalem. I'm ready to die for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, he was in the fight, all right. He was in the conflict. And dear child of God, when we see the Bible under attack, when we see the blood of Jesus Christ made light of, when we see his virgin birth being denied, Are we ready to earnestly contend for the faith? Are we ready for the fight? Some would tell us today that it's not their business to be involved in controversy or be involved in a conflict for the faith. They tell us that they have been called to just preach the gospel. I've just been called to preach the gospel. Not to get involved in controversy or in conflict. Well, I don't know what gospel they're preaching. Because you can be sure of this, when you preach the gospel, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you can be sure you'll find yourself in a conflict. You'll find yourself in the midst of a battle. Because I tell you, there's nothing but nothing that stirs up the brats of hell than the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul told the believer, the elders at Ephesus, that he had shunned not to declare unto them the whole counsel of God. That's preaching the gospel. That's preaching the gospel, declaring the whole counsel of God. That's the gospel Paul preached. And even though he was threatened, really everywhere he went, it didn't matter to Paul. He says, I'm ready, I'm still ready to preach, and I'm ready to die if necessary. He's ready for the fight. Over in Romans chapter 1, there Paul said in Romans 1 verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I'm ready. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome. And where is he writing the letter to Timothy from? From Rome. He's in the prison. The preaching of the gospel had got him into trouble. It didn't matter. Paul preached it anyway. Was his readiness for the conflict, and what was the reason for the conflict? Well, we read there this morning in Acts 9 the reason for the conflict. For in Acts 9 he preached Christ unto them in verse 22 of Acts 9. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Then the Jews sought to kill him. Didn't like the preaching of Christ. Dear child of God, that's what the preaching of the gospel is. It's the preaching of Jesus Christ. Take Christ out of the gospel and you don't have a gospel. The gospel is good news. Take Jesus Christ out of the gospel and where's your good news? Don't have any to tell to dying men and women. And it's the preaching of Jesus Christ that disturbs hell. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. And so let us, dear child of God, not be ashamed to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Because being a follower of Jesus Christ out and out for Him will bring the worst out in the ungodly. And they'll mock us and laugh at us and poke fun at us and call us names, but who cares? As long as we're able to say at the end of the road, I have fought a good fight. That's all that matters. Not only do you have here Paul in this conflict and getting involved immediately, but we notice his involvement. The Apostle Paul was involved in this conflict. He says, I have fought, I have fought. What a good text for this day when we remember D-Day. 60th anniversary of D-Day. And thank God for those old soldiers. You hear some of them speaking, and they speak in a way as if the battle took place last week. They remember it still. And those soldiers could say, do the way sometimes you'll see people wearing T-shirts and they'll say, I survived Hurricane Andrew. Say, well, it's really what they're saying is, I was there, I was through it. And here's Paul says, I fought a good fight. I was there. I was involved in the fight. Paul did not wish to be carried to the skies on a flowery bed of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. Paul wanted to be part of the fight. He wanted to be involved in it. He didn't want to be a spectator standing on the edge watching. He wanted to be in it. Oh, for the Spirit of Paul to get a hold of our hearts today. May God save us from the spirit of the children of Reuben and Gad. Remember what was said to them? Moses spoke to the children of Gad and the children of Reuben when they refused to go on with their brethren and take the land that had been set before them. Moses said, shall your brethren go to war? And shall you sit here? It was a sharp rebuke. Your brethren are going on to the war. They're involved in the battle. And you going to sit here? No, let us be like Paul. And at the end of the road, we'll be able to say, I have fought a good fight. In this fight for the faith, Paul did not hold back anything. He gave it his all. That's what you like to see, isn't it? A man who will give it his all. Because the word fought here means as reference to a contest. To the combatant straining every nerve to attain to the object, straining every nerve, putting their all into it. You know that if we're involved in a fight and our involvement is only a sort of a half-hearted affair, we're not going to win. Thank God for the likes of Paul, who when they are involved in the fight for the faith, they put their whole heart into it. And believer, that's what God, I believe, requires. Wholehearted Christianity. Wholehearted living for God. Straining every fiber to win the day and to win the prize. Paul said to Timothy earlier on in this letter, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And a good soldier will wage a good warfare. Paul was a good soldier. Something else from this text, Paul's conflict and his involvement in it was impressive. For the text says, I have fought a good fight. I have fought the good fight. The word good there refers to an external goodness as seen by the eye. You look on something and you say, that looks good. And you read through Paul's epistles and you see his involvement in the fight for the faith. You see him earnestly contending for the faith, and you see him fighting, and you say, my, that looks good. That was a good fight, Paul. My, when you took on those old Pharisees and fought with them, that was a good fight, Paul. When you stood before Agrippa and Felix and took your stand for Jesus Christ, Paul, that was a good fight. That's what he's saying. We look at Paul and his involvement in the conflict, and I tell you this, if it doesn't impress anybody else, it impresses me. You see how involved he was, how wholeheartedly he was in this conflict. Again, he said to Timothy, war a good warfare. Holding faith and a good conscience. It's like, in fact, that's what the word is taken from two wrestlers in a ring. And they're straining every ounce of their being, every muscle to win the contest. Whenever the victor comes out, you could say of that victor, that was a good fight. You put up a good show there. Here's Paul, and he's about to step out of the ring, if you like. Does so, he says, I have fought a good fight. And we can say, amen, Paul, so you have. You have fought a good fight. We're impressed. How Timothy must have been impressed. As he says to Timothy, preach the word. Here's my mantle. Now I walk where I walked. Carry on my ministry. And Timothy, I have fought a good fight. You do the same. What a legacy. What a way to impress those who are left behind to carry on the work. Timothy could not help but be impressed. And oh, dear child of God, when we come to the end of the road, may we leave something behind us for others to follow. That others might say, I want to be like that man. I want to be like that woman. Now you read about John Calvin, and you read about John Knox, and you read about Martin Luther. There was something wrong with us if we didn't say, oh, I'd like to be like Martin Luther. I'd like to be like Calvin. I'd like to be like Knox. They fought a good fight, and we would say, what? I would like to be like them. Not only do you have the conflict, you have the course. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Interestingly, the apostle has just seen himself as a wrestler, having fought a good fight. Now he likens himself unto an athlete who has just crossed the finish line on the racetrack. For he says, I have finished my course. For the word course there refers to a race course, to the cinder path of an athletic field that usually runs round the outside. That's the word that Paul employs here. Now he likens himself unto an athlete and he says, I have finished my course. The translators supply the word my, indicating this was Paul's course. This was a particular course. I have finished my course. If the athlete expects to win the prize, then he can't run any other course. We have read in the past of athletes who have been involved in some cross-country run, involved in a marathon, running through streets and towns and cities, and either mistakenly or intentionally they went another way, tried to take a shortcut. They didn't win the prize. No, they had to stay the course, run the course. And here Paul says, I have finished my course, the course the Lord has planned out for me. I've just finished it. That course that we looked at in Acts 9, verses 15 and 16, he was to go and preach the gospel. That was the course. And on that course there were many obstacles that he had to overcome, because the Lord told him that he would suffer many things. Paul didn't map out that course for himself. It was the course the Lord had mapped out for him, and Paul had to run it. And even though there were many obstacles in that course, Paul still had to run that course. And we rejoice that he did. For you never read of Paul dropping out of the course. You never read of him dropping out. He ran the course. Over the next chapter 20, he makes reference of this to this course. Acts 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel to the grace of God. There's his course. And he says, none of these things move me. Dangers here, there, and yonder that may loom up in Jerusalem, and these obstacles, I have to overcome them, because God has called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will, by His grace, finish the course, and I'll finish the course with joy. And he did, because he's able to say, I have finished my course. And dear child of God, we have the Christian life to live, and we have the Lord's course to run, and we would be foolish if we thought that there were no obstacles along the way. We'll meet many an obstacle along the way, but listen, let us stay on course. Paul stayed on course. He persevered in the course. In many ways, the course Paul was asked to run was, as we've said, an obstacle course, as indicated in those words of Acts 9, verses 15 and 16. He had to suffer many things, but as he said to the elders in Ephesus, he said, "None of these things move me." And as he ran the course, what obstacles he met, what obstacles he faced, what obstacles he encountered, he kept on running. The whole sermon in itself, if we were to consider the obstacles that Paul encountered as he ran this course. Look at the chapter that we have read this morning, Acts or 2 Timothy 4. Was the obstacle of desertion. Look at verse 10. "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. My, that would have made many a lesser mortal stop running and drop out of the course. One that would say, what's the point in going on? Sure, look at Demas, he went and deserted me. I might as well desert the cause too." No. Paul kept on running. Look at his desolation in verse 11. "Only Luke is with me. The only earthly companion I have is Luke." See his desolation. Another reason, another excuse Paul could have used to abandon the course. But no, he kept on running. Look at his destitution in verse 13. "The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." This is all the apostle owned. He was lying in prison. And he asks for a cloak, something to keep him warm. It's all he had. He didn't even have a coat to cover his body. He asked for the cloak, and he asked for the parchments, and he asked for books. It's all he had. He didn't even have it. It's what he asked for. His destitution. Paul could have said, what's the point in going on? I'm desolate. I've been deserted. Look at my destitution. Paul kept on running. Consider his disease. He had a thorn in the flesh, which some think was a disease of the eyes. Sought the Lord three times to remove that thorn. But Paul had to run with the thorn in his flesh. And he kept on running. The devil sought to hinder him. Romans 15, verse 22, 1 Thessalonians 2, 18. Paul spoke there about Satan hindering him. The devil will try and hinder us all. But Paul kept on running. You think of his disappointments. There was another obstacle. What did he say to the church at Galatia? "Ye did run well. What did hinder you?" He was disappointed that the Galatian believers had started out well, had suddenly been sidetracked and were no longer running for the Lord. Disappointments, disease, destitution, desolation, desertions. But Paul kept on running. That's why he is able to say, "I have finished my course." How was he able to do that? Hebrews 12:1. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Isn't that what he said? None of these things move me. I'm ready to die for Jesus Christ. Christ kept them going. And believer, as we run the race of faith, as we wrestle with the opponents of the gospel, and feel at times like giving up and surrendering, let us look on to Jesus. Because Christ will keep us going. And it'll be worth it all at the end of the road when we see Jesus. I haven't time to consider the cause. For there, in verse 7 again, Paul not only said, I have fought a good fight, there's the conflict. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what it was all about. It's the cause. Paul believed in a cause. Notice his triumph. The word kept means to stand guard. Paul stood guard over the faith. He stood guard over the gospel. He stood up for the Lord Jesus Christ. He triumphed. I have no time for this modern day philosophy that has crept in where we're told, well, it's not really the winning that matters. It's just participating. Well, I tell you, anything that I have participated in, I want to win it. May not win it, but I'll certainly try to win. Paul was in this conflict to win. Paul ran this course in order that he might win. And he did win. Because he says, I kept the faith. His triumph and his treasure was the faith. Men had died for it. Paul was ready to die for it. It was his treasure. May the faith be our treasure. And then his testimony. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. The Lord said to the angel of the church in Smyrna, fear none of these those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Bless the Lord for the memory of Paul. He was faithful unto death, and he received that crown of life as his reward. May we be faithful unto death, and we will receive that crown also. Let's bow our heads together in prayer.